Good morning, and welcome to Sunday worship in Railway Street Presbyterian Church on the 13th of June. It's a delight to welcome everybody, those who are present in our meeting house, those who are watching or listening at home. Just a few announcements, folks, to draw your attention to. First of all, today marks our gift day for the Link redevelopment. This is our first gift day for over 2 years now, and you've all received the information about the cost and the way forward. We know that this is presenting us with great financial challenge, but we also know that under God we can face and overcome that. And so we're looking to you today to respond generously, to give as the Lord has prospered you, to enable us to move forward with this. As I said last week, the contractors have agreed that work proper will begin on the 16th of August with an 11-month timescale, which should mean handover in early July 2022. And as I've said before, generous offering today will help to resupply our building fund. Obviously, we've already incurred costs getting to this point. A good offering today will also encourage the whole church family as we step forward in faith, and it will also give confidence to the bank as our treasurer negotiates with them to borrow what we need to borrow. So you're asked to place your gift envelopes in the plates at the door today, or to put them through the usual letterbox, or to make use of electronic bank transfers. And folks, I've confidence, and I've confidence in this congregation, because I haven't seen a challenge yet, and a financial challenge that we haven't been able to face. And I know the generosity, folks, in this church, and have confidence in God. And so we look forward to just hearing the news of how this gift day goes and next week. Been asked to remind all ladies of the congregation that you're invited to a stroll in the park with a difference. I don't know what the difference is, but there is a stroll in the park with a difference this Thursday, the 17th of June, meeting at 7 p.m. in Wallace Car Park, weather permitting. So do remember that this Thursday evening, 7 p.m. meeting in Wallace Car Park. Unfortunately, it will once again not be possible to have our normal Ganaway camp this summer. However, in the absence of that, and we have a slide here, thank you. In the absence of that, our youth leaders are working on a program called Gana Home this way. You think about that, you should get that, folks. It's a slow burner, that one, I appreciate. But Gana Home will run from Wednesday the 21st to Friday the 23rd of July. It's for any young person who's going into year 8 in September of this year, or anybody up to year 16 who has left school this month. Registrations need to be in today so that activities can be booked. So we encourage parents and young folks to make sure that you register for that Ghana Home. There'll be activities in the morning and the evenings. And we got the good news during this week that we've secured generous funding from the Education Authority to go towards the costs of this program. All the information can be found online at ghanahome.railwaystreet.org, or speak to Stephen Woods. Next Sunday after our morning service, the members of our Exodus teams will be holding a fundraiser in the car park. There's going to be tray bakes and buns available for you to come make a donation and to take away. So do remember that next Sunday morning following the service. Then next Sunday, we'll also see the final end of the process of electing new elders. God willing, next Sunday evening at 6:30 p.m., there will be a service of ordination conducted by the Dromore Presbytery. We want to invite members of the congregation to come and join us for this important service. Show your support and your encouragement to those six new elders. There's a special page on the website that's gone up this weekend to enable you to register for that service. If you go to the homepage, you can't miss that. That service will also be live streamed, but we do invite you to register and plan to come along and join us for that service. Our theme this morning is "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." Our next chapter in Judges chapter 5, we have the Song of Deborah reflecting on that great victory. We were thinking about a couple of weeks ago where God gave the Israelites victory over the Canaanites who were oppressing them. The battle belongs to the Lord. Do you know, we find that there are many battles in the book of Judges, and that maybe makes us uncomfortable. Sometimes the violence that we find there, and sometimes we're even uncomfortable with that image that we have there of God as the warrior who fights on behalf of his people. And yet the Bible, whether it's the Old Testament, the New Testament, is filled with that image of conflict, that reminder that as God's people, we're, in many ways, we're in enemy territory. There's a conflict raging all around us, and sometimes we forget that because we've settled down into peaceful coexistence with a culture that is diametrically opposed to God. We've forgotten that we're in the midst of a battle. We're in the midst of a conflict. Let's join together to worship God now, and we're going to pray. And as we do that, this is a prayer adapted from a book called The Valley of Vision. It's Prayers of the Puritans. And this is reflecting on the believer's struggle in that war, that conflict that we're called to. Let's pray together. Father, we praise you that the issue of the battle between yourself and the evil one has never been uncertain and will end in your victory. We praise you that Calvary broke the dragon's head and that we contend with a vanquished foe who with all his subtlety and strength has already been overcome. When we feel the serpent at our heel, may we remember him whose heel was bruised but who when bruised broke the devil's head. We join together in praising Jesus Christ, our mighty conqueror. Heal us of any wounds received in this great conflict. If we have gathered defilement, if our faith has suffered damage, if our hope is less than bright, if our love is not fervent, if some creature comfort occupies our hearts, if our souls sink under the pressure of the fight, we come to you whose every promise is balm, every touch life. Draw near to your weary warriors. Refresh us so that we may rise again to engage in the battle and never tire until our enemy is trodden down. Give us such fellowship with you that we may defy the evil one, unbelief, the flesh and the world. Refresh us with your living water so that our hands will never weaken, our sword never rest, our shield never rust, our helmet never shatter, our breastplate never fall, as our strength rests in the power of your might. For we ask it in the all-victorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In Ephesians 6, we read, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." We're going to join together to praise God now. The first song we're going to sing is called "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." I suspect it's going to be new to most of you, and yet in my mind it's a golden oldie because this is one that was very popular when I was a teenager, especially in Stainfield Road, Young People's Christian Endeavour. We sang this often, but it probably hasn't been heard much since the early 1990s. The band were leading us at the start. If you don't know it, just listen and follow along. So we're going to sing "The Battle Belongs to the Lord," and then we're going to go into "Draw Me Close to You." And if you're happy and you're able, I invite you to stand with us. Recent months, we focused on the World Watch List. We counted down from 10 to number 1, the 10 most dangerous and difficult countries in the world to be a believer in Jesus Christ. We're going to think and see a very short video about another country that's in that World Watch List, not in the top 10, but a country that has been shattered through 10 years of civil war and where suffering continues today, and yet where believers in Jesus Christ continue to bring light and to bring hope. Our Father, we come conscious again of how much horrific suffering exists in this world. The vast majority of it caused directly by the actions of sinful human beings. And we know so often we pay attention for a little while, but then the news coverage moves on to another story and our memories can quickly fade. We're reminded again this morning of the devastation caused over the course of the last 10 years in Syria through civil war. We're reminded that suffering continues in this broken and shattered country. And yet we thank you that in the midst of the darkness, your church continues to reflect the light of Christ. We thank you that the church continues to be active in rebuilding lives and restoring hope. And we pray your ongoing blessing upon organizations like Open Doors and Barnabas Fund, who have stood and continue to stand with the church in Syria, who have helped provide the resources they've needed to assist not only those who belong to the church, but also so many outside the church bearing witness to the love of Jesus Christ. We know your people still face many dangers. So we pray for our brothers and sisters in Syria, men like the pastor we've just seen in Aleppo, who stayed when they could have fled, and who continue to serve you throughout the war, and who continue to serve you in the ongoing challenges of the present. We ask that you continue to protect and provide for your people, and use them to bring help and hope to others. Build your church in Syria as they seek to help people to rebuild their shattered lives and homes. Father, much nearer to home, we remember how yesterday primary sevens and their parents finally received notification of school places for next year. Lord, we know this is always a difficult process, made especially more so as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and the lockdowns. We know that many boys and girls worked hard for exams that never happened, that the schools had to come up with a different way of allocating places. We know as a result of yesterday, there will be many who will be happy and satisfied with the places allotted to them, but there will be others, Lord, who are disappointed, very much so. And we know, Lord, that there will now be a busy time over these next couple of weeks as appeals are made, as places are accepted, where other places will open up. And we just pray, Lord, for any who are in that position of being so unhappy that they will be appealing against that process, that they will over the course of these coming days. And certainly, Lord, long before we head too far into the summer holidays, that they will know that peace and satisfaction of having secured a place for their children that they are happy with. Lord, we commit any of our own families connected to our own church who find themselves in that very situation today. We commit them to you as we commit all our prayers to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to hand over at this stage to Charlie. He's going to read God's word and open that word up to us.
Good morning. Let's have a look at Judges chapter 5. On that day, Deborah and Barak, son of Abinoam, sang this song. When the princes in Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. Hear this, you king, listen, you rulers. I will sing to the Lord, I will sing, I will make music to the Lord, the God of Israel. O Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the land of Edom, the earth shook, the heavens poured, the clouds poured down water. The mountains quaked before the Lord, the one of Sinai, before the Lord, the God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anat, in the days of Jael, the roads were abandoned. Travelers took to winding paths. Village life in Israel ceased until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. When they chose new gods, war came to the city gates, and not a shield or spear was seen among the 40,000 in Israel. My heart is with Israel's princes, with the willing volunteers among the people. Praise the Lord. You who ride on white donkeys, sitting on your saddle blankets, and you who walk along the road, consider the voice of the singers at the watering places. They recite the righteous acts of the Lord, the righteous acts of his warriors in Israel. When the people of the Lord went down to the city gates, wake up, Deborah. Wake up, break out in song. Arise, O Barak. Take captive your captives, O son of Abinoam. Then the men who were left came down to the nobles. The people of the Lord came to me with the mighty. Some came from Ephraim, whose roots were in Amalek. Benjamin was with the people who followed you. From Machir, captors came down. From Zebulun, those who bear commander's staff. The princes of Issachar were with Deborah. Yes, Issachar was with Barak, rushing after him into the valley. In the districts of Reuben, there was much searching of heart. Why did you stay among the campfires to hear the whistling of the flocks? In the districts of Reuben, there was much searching of heart. Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan, and Dan, why did you linger by the ships? Asher remained on the coast and stayed in its coast. The people of Zebulun risked their very lives. So did Naphtali on the height of the field. Kings came, they fought. The kings of Canaan fought at Taanach by the water of Megiddo. They came, they carried off no silver, no plunder. From the heavens, the stars fought. From their courses, they fought against Sisera. The river Kishon swept them away, the age-old river, the river Kishon. March on, my soul, be strong. Then hundreds of horses' hoofs, galloping, galloping, go his mighty steeds. Curse Meroz, said the angel of the Lord. Curse its people bitterly, because they did not come to help the Lord, to help the Lord against the mighty. Most blessed of all women be Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, most blessed of tent-dwelling women. He asked for water, and she gave him milk. In a bowl fit for nobles, she brought him curdled milk. Her hand reached to the tent peg, her right hand for the workman's hammer. She struck Sisera, she crushed his head, she shattered and pierced his temple. At her feet he sank, he fell, there he lay. At her feet he sank, he fell, where he sank, there he fell, dead. Through the window peered Sisera's mother. Behind the lattice, she cried out, why is his chariot so long in coming? Why is the clatter of his chariots delayed? The wisest of her ladies answer her. In this, she keeps saying to herself, are they not finding and dividing the spoils? A girl or two for each man? Colorful garments as plunder for Sisera. Colorful garments, embroidered, highly embroidered garments for my neck. All this as plunder. So may all your enemies perish, O Lord, but may those who love you be like the sun when it rises in its height. When I read this song, I was reminded of one of my favorite books, The Sacred Diary of Adrian Plus, which is also a bit of an oldie. And in that book, Adrian Plus, who is a fictional character bearing the name of the author, recounts his experiences as a Christian, his spiritual experiences, and most of them are not really spiritual at all. And so one of them, right at the start of the book, Adrian commits himself to participate in the church choir who is going to sing carols over the Christmas period. And then he discovers that the very night they have to go out and sing carols, they're showing James Bond on the TV. And, you know, bear in mind this was back in the 80s when you couldn't record as easily stuff on the TV, so you either watch it or miss it. So Adrian is faced with a big spiritual dilemma. He is kind of trying to discern the Lord's will. What does the Lord want me to do? Does the Lord want me to go and sing carols, or does he want me to stay home and watch James Bond? Okay, and so he prays, but the Lord doesn't really speak to him very clearly, and so he decides to set a sign. And he says, well, if at 9:05, a short person dressed in a Japanese military uniform rings the bell of my the doorbell, this will be a clear sign that the Lord wants me to go and sing carols. So he sits there and he waits, and it's 9:05, and then it's 9:06. Praise the Lord. The Lord has spoken. No one is at the door. That means clearly the Lord wants me to stay and watch James Bond. Now, this story kind of, I think, epitomizes some of the dilemmas that we all face. And of course, I'm not in any way suggesting that singing carols is inherently better than watching a James Bond movie. This is not really the point. The point is that we are all often faced with choices when we have to choose between comfort and responsibilities, between a commitment we have made and things we want to do. We all have to make choices. And some of them are as trivial as watching a James Bond movie, but there are other choices in life that are much more important. And the Song of Deborah talks about one of those situations where people had to make a choice, a much, much more difficult choice than whether to go and sing carols or stay home and watch James Bond. And it is, as we looked at the story a couple of weeks ago, it is a time of crisis. The people of Israel had sinned and they are oppressed by the Canaanites. And in verse 6, we have a short glimpse of what that crisis looked like. In the days of Shamgar, says the song, the roads were abandoned, travelers took to winding paths, village life in Israel ceased. In other words, the reason why the roads were abandoned is because it was not safe to travel. There were brigands, there were criminals. And so if you wanted to travel, let's say, from Lisbon to Armagh, it's not just as easy as hopping in your car and driving down. It's actually not safe to do so. You don't know when you are going to be ambushed, robbed, maybe even killed. And so people preferred to stay in their villages rather than, or even when they had to travel, they took really the back roads, which took a lot of time. So the roads ceased, traveling stopped, village life ceased. They were in a bit of a lockdown, I mean, you might say. Not imposed by the government, it was a self-imposed lockdown, but nevertheless, it was a difficult and dangerous time. There was violence, there was crime, there was oppression. And in that difficult time of crisis, the Lord fights a war to help his people and bring them deliverance. And this is what the Song of Deborah talks about. It talks about that tremendous act of deliverance. And when we look at the song, there are three different characters in that song. The song talks about the armies of the Lord, the enemies of the Lord, and the Lord himself. So I'll use those characters to kind of structure my sermon and to bring out some of its encouragement and challenge to us. So first of all, the armies of the Lord. What were the armies of the Lord? The armies of the Lord were, of course, the people themselves. But there is an important thing to bear in mind. The armies of the Lord were not professional soldiers who were trained and paid to fight. These were ordinary people who lived in their villages, and they answered the call to come and fight. And there is another important detail to bear in mind. During this time, Israel had no king. There was no monarchy. Now, the monarchy is something generally considered bad in the Old Testament. It was the desire to have a king in the nation of Israel was an expression of their lack of trust in the Lord. But the king had also the king brought benefits as well. And one of the major benefits was organizing people to fight against their enemies. And in the absence of a central institution like the monarchy, the people of the Lord were free. They were all equal, so the power was not concentrated somewhere at the top of a pyramid. It was distributed right at the very bottom. In villages, people decided their lives the way that they felt was right for them. But in a time of crisis, there was no one to actually force people to come together and cooperate for the common good. And this was the main challenge in this time of crisis. There was a lockdown caused by crime and oppression and violence in the land, and people had to come together for a common cause, to fight for the Lord. And the Song of Deborah celebrates this victory by praising the people who actually answered the call. And that's how it starts. When the princes of Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. And then if you look at verses 13 onwards, there is a list of various groups in Israel. Most of the names are names of tribes, and you have also names of clans that were not full-blown tribes, but obviously significant enough groups of people with military power who contributed to the effort to fight against the oppression of Sisera. And so Deborah, as she praises the Lord for this victory, acknowledges the fact that people willingly offered themselves. They came and they risked their lives. In verse 18, the people of Zebulun risked their very lives, and so did the people of Naphtali. They came and fought on the front lines of the battle, and they answered the call of the Lord. But the point is that not everyone did. And that is a major point the song itself makes. There were people who came down. They were behind Deborah and Barak. But in verse 15 and 16, in the districts of Reuben, there was much searching of heart. And, you know, that kind of phrase is repeated twice. There was much searching of heart. The people of Reuben were debaters. You know, they were thinkers. They like to kind of consider the options. So they gathered and they explored the situation. Is it really as dire? And also there are some reports, people cannot travel to Armah. Is it really important to go to Armah? Or, you know, can you not go to somewhere else instead? You know, are these reports maybe a little bit exaggerated? Are they not making too much of it? Does it really concern us? Because the people of Reuben lived on the other side of the river, of the river Jordan. And so for them, the situation was not as dire as it was for some of the others who were closer to the place where Sisera was. It's a little bit like when the pandemic struck. There were a number of situations when I've kind of watched on TV people being interviewed, and sometimes you'll have someone who would kind of refuse to comply or wear a mask or whatever. And I remember one interview with someone who was, when President Trump was in the hospital, one of his supporters outside was without a mask, and the journalist was interviewing him, and she asked him, are you not afraid that, you know, you're contributing to the pandemic? And so the guy said, well, I'm young, I'm healthy, I do not think I am going to be hospitalized if I get this virus, so it's okay. It's a little bit that mentality. It's not really critical for me, and therefore I'm not going to help. I'm not going to get involved. And this is what the Song of Deborah asks these tribes and groups of and clans within the people of Israel. Why did you stay among the campfires? Why did you stay, you know, behind to listen to the whistling of the flocks? Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan. Dan lingered with the sheep. Asher remained at the coast. There were tribes and groups of tribes that sort of stayed behind and did not help. And so the Song of Deborah highlights the fact that there was a division among the people of the Lord between those who offered themselves willingly and those who did not. And it expresses that with a very striking image. If you look at verse 23, it says, Kurt Meroz, because he did not come to help the Lord, to help the Lord against the mighty. Isn't that one of the most striking things to say? He did not come to help the Lord. Does the Lord need help? Well, it is a little bit like if you watch a parent having a child help them with a task. That help is quite often more of a hindrance. But still, it is an important learning experience, primarily for the child. And it is that the people of Israel failed to do. They did not come to help the Lord against the mighty. So this is what the song has to say about the armies of the Lord. What does it have to say, secondly, about the enemies of the Lord? Okay, and the enemies of the Lord are primarily this general Sisera, who Jael killed in the previous chapter, and we looked at that story. But here, towards the end of the song, we have another member of the enemies of the Lord, and this is Sisera's mother. Okay, so we have heard that Sisera and his armies have been defeated, he is dead, and then the song, right at the very end, takes us to the palace of Sisera, where his mother is waiting for her son to return. And it pictures for us her experience. It kind of invites us to imagine that we are there in the palace with her as she is waiting for her son to return. Now, the image of a mother anxiously waiting her son to return is a heartbreaking one, especially because we know he's dead and he's not never going to come back. But what the song invites us to do is kind of, it invites us into her head, the conversation she's having with herself and her ladies. And she's saying, why is his chariot so long in coming? Why is the clatter of his chariots delayed? And then this is the answer that she gives herself. Are they not finding and dividing spoils, a girl or two for each man, colorful garments as plunder for me? Sisera's mother is imagining how her son is raping the Israelite girls, how his army has killed all the men, they've captured all the women, and they are now dividing them amongst themselves and raping them and collecting everything that is of value to bring. Bring back. It is an image of violence, of abuse, and she is very happy with that, as long as she gets a bit of the plunder for herself. And the Song of Deborah does not really comment on this picture. It simply places her thoughts before us, and then it ends. Because we already know that Tanakh, by the rivers of Megiddo, they carried no silver and no plunder, in verse 19. We know that they carried no plunder. And we know that Sisera did not rape any of the Israelite girls. He was, in fact, killed by a woman. And so the picture of Sisera's mother is an example of what happens to the enemies of the Lord, to those who practice oppression and abuse, or who encourage or profit from others' oppression and abuse. The Lord has turned the tables on the general. He has turned the tables on his enemies. He has defeated them and humiliated them. And that picture of enemies who are defeated and humiliated serves as an encouragement for the people of Israel, because they are invited to think back to the time when they dared not leave their villages for fear of being killed on the road. And it is a vivid testimony of the way the Lord can change and turn things around. It is a vivid testimony of the power of the Lord to solve even the most difficult of situations. I think when we read those stories, it is very important for us to bear in mind that when we talk about enemies like this, and especially when we talk about war stories, we need to bear in mind that verse we read at the start of our service. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of darkness and wickedness. And so this is one of the most important, I think, distinctives of the Christian faith, and it is especially important when we read texts like this from the book of Judges. Our enemies are not other people, because the enemies of the Lord, even when they are people who reject him, are potentially the Lord's friends. They are potentially people who will repent and become our brothers and sisters. Our battle is not against them, it's against the powers of darkness. Quite often it is even against ourselves. against the sin which still works in our own lives. And so the description of the humiliation of the enemy is not an invitation for us to gloat at the misfortunes of other people. It is not an invitation for us to wish ill the people who we do not like. It is a reminder that the Lord has the power to turn even the most difficult circumstances around. And no one who opposes his plans and his purposes can prevail. So that's what the song has to say about the enemies of the Lord. And then finally, we come to the victories of the Lord. The song begins with a picture of the Lord coming from the south. In verses 4 and 5, Deborah begins by this vision of the Lord coming from Seir and Edom. These were regions in the south. And he comes north to the land of Israel, where he is going to help his people. And as he comes, the clouds pour with water, the mountains quake. In verses 20 and 21, the stars fight from heaven, the river sweeps them away, the enemy armies away. Michael explained when he talked about chapter 5 that one of the most dangerous weapons the Canaanites had was the iron chariot. And probably the way that the battle was won was by the river overflowing and the chariots not being able to move. And the main point is that the people were invited to come and help the Lord, but when we read those details, we realize the Lord needs no help. Okay, he wants us to help, but he can actually do everything by himself. There is this overwhelming picture of power and might as he comes from the south, as he commands the heaven, the mountains, the river. The whole world actually fights with his people. And so just like the picture of the defeated enemy, the picture of the coming Lord is a reminder to us that God needs no help, even though he expects and wants our help. He has the power to overturn the tables by himself alone. And this is one of the paradoxes of this song. It has a very high view of the power of God to cope with difficulties. And at the same time, it really celebrates and rejoices the people's willingness to offer themselves to fight and to help the Lord. And this is what I would like us to take away from this passage. It is really that question when we are faced in our own lives, and our dilemmas and choices will be different. They'll be different from Adrian Plus's dilemma whether to watch James Bond or not. They'll be different from the dilemma of those people whether to stay behind or go to fight. But we will have our own choices to make. Will we choose comfort or responsibility and commitment? Are we willing to help the Lord? And so I want to finish. I'll pray in a minute, but I want to read again this opening verse of the song, and I want to invite you to consider one word from it. When the princes in Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. I want you to pick up that word willingly in your mind and think about it just for a moment. When the people willingly offer themselves to praise the Lord. So think about it for a moment and then I'll pray. Lord, we thank you that you have power and might beyond our comprehension. And we thank you, Lord, that you are able to fight for us and to win every battle. We thank you, Lord, that you have invited us to participate in what you do in this world. And we pray, Lord, that today as we come to this passage, you will help us to be like those people in the days of Deborah, who offered themselves willingly to you, who came to help you, who came to be involved, who were willing to sacrifice their comfort, even their lives, for the sake of your battles. And we pray, Lord, that we will reflect that same attitude, and we will have the passion and the desire to follow you and to serve you willingly. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We are going to conclude our service with one final song, which focuses on our message of hope. And the reason why we can offer ourselves willingly to serve the Lord, even to the point of self-sacrifice and death, is because our hope is in Christ. And so we'll finish by thinking about that. What is our hope? As we go into another week of our lives, let's send each other into the world with the words of the grace. Let's say the grace together. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.